Good morning to FCCW. Welcome to all. We do appreciate your being here, and it's a wonder as together in Christ we can worship the wonderful God that we love and serve. A couple of announcements. The deacon's offering occurs today. You'd see it in the bulletin. Vespers will be held this afternoon at 3:30 at the homestead. And we have filling in today with Pastor Doug Off, Reverend Michael Alford. He attended North Carolina State University, from which he earned a B.S. in nuclear engineering. He's not here to talk about nuclear engineering because this goes way beyond our Lord. Our Lord is in control of all of those things. Next, he completed his Master of Divinity at Gordon-Conwell. He was senior pastor at First Presbyterian Church in Schenectady, New York, from which he retired and is here today to conduct the sermon for us. And I might add, I learned a little bit more about Pastor Alfred this morning. He pastored our organist from the age of 3 to 5, or was it 7? Some age limit in there. So that was a new little tidbit I thought we should share with you all. Now, as Jonathan leads us in the prelude, let's bow and prepare. Father, we thank you that we can come together to worship you, Lord Jesus, because it is you who put your life on the cross to give us this opportunity. We thank you so very much. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you rise for the call to worship? Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. We'll now sing together hymn number 441. Thank you. And you may be seated. The scriptural call to repentance based on Romans 8:39. We know that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Let us in freedom confess the wrong that we have done. And together the collective confession, I'll read, but please follow along with me, and then we'll take a moment after we read it to just meditate on that. O Lord, do not remember against us our former iniquities. Let your compassion come speedily to meet us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake. Proclamation of forgiveness from 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And we'll take up the offering from the rear of the church to the fore. The deacons will participate in that. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. Everything we have has come from you. We praise you for it. We thank you for those who have given to the work here in this place. We thank you for deacons and those, the mercenary work that they work in, and pray that we would be diligent as a church body to use these funds that you have provided to honor you and to glorify your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bow with me. I will pray for all of us, and if you would, you can repeat in yourself the words for which I lift up. I hope I will do it to honor our Lord, particularly as a body. Father, we thank you for the wonder of the preciousness of being able to call you our Father, knowing that you are in heaven. And knowing that what you have done for us has come to earth in the God-man Jesus. To live a life, to be that perfect sacrifice. So many places in Scripture that we can read about your covenant with us and your people of days of old. And your promises are steadfast, your promises are faithful, because you are a God with unfailing love and care for your creation and your people. The land that we live in, the people that we know, the riches of family, your design. Oh, Father, how we can live a life free, free from the drudgery of sin, that we can indeed follow you, for you, Jesus, walking the face of this earth, your ministry here, teaching us, your apostles, the priests and the prophets of old, you, Jesus, fulfilled each and every office, prophet, priest, and king. Holy, 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 as Isaiah fell to his face, knowing the extent of your holiness, the wonder of it. We praise you because you have lifted us by your Holy Spirit from our deadness in our trespasses and sin. And you have given to us this time to come together, to worship, to pray, to attempt to honor you with our worship. We thank you for this town and community, the locality in which we live. We thank you for this state and its government. And we lift up to you those who govern this town as well as this state. We lift up to you, Father, the country in which we live, the richness of the blessings of such a place, a country that has sent out more missionaries throughout the world than any other country. A country that you, on the principles that you desire for us to live, founded. Pray, Father, that those governing this country would follow the way in which you desire us to, that each one of us would be willing and able to have an answer for those who might approach us and ask us about the faith that we have, where that came from, that we'd be rich to share the gospel's good news. Sinners that we are, saved by you and you alone, dear Jesus. Oh, how we thank you. We thank you for praises and prayers that have been answered. Even one of our members who has gone through recent heart surgery, and even here today, it's amazing what the medical society can do, but without your hand involved, they could do nothing. We thank you for those who are educated in that field, and we thank you for those who have gone to places like Gordon Conwell to study, to meditate, and learn more about what it is that you would have in the calling of a pastor. And so we lift up to you, Pastor Doug, and his wife, Kristen, and family as they are away, that this might be a fun, enjoyable time and a respite for which they can enjoy. And we thank you for Pastor Alfred that is going to give us the message this morning, and pray that indeed you would engage him fully, Holy Spirit, and each one of us with the ears to hear that which you have prepared. We thank you for our organist, Jonathan, and all of the many things that you bring into our lives through the richness of this worship time together. And so it is that we praise you and wish to continue to lift our praises up to you as we continue in this service. And we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please rise and with the affirmation of faith, and I have to get my glasses on first. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? What benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? Thanks be to God. We'll sing together the Gloria Patri. Scripture reading is from Matthew 5, 3 through 11. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Let us sing hymn number 525, A Child of King. And now, children of the King, you may be seated. And the deacon's offering will be taken from the rear to the front of the church. Praise God for these children that all of us are.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you.
Again, thank you for deacons, and thank you for the monies that you have given to all of us and the willingness that we each have to contribute toward the well-being of many that this church might reach. We thank you for their service. We thank you for this time together that we can participate as King's children. As we are, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Mike Alford.
Good morning. I am delighted to be with you this morning. At my age, I'm delighted to be anywhere. Our scripture this morning is found in Psalm 32. And I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in those spirit there is no deceit. And when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Amen. To this reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you for your word, and we open it this morning as we open our hearts to understand it, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the time in which congratulations are in order. We hear the word congratulations at weddings, at graduations, at happy occasions such as anniversaries and birthdays. Congratulations. We do not see the word congratulations in the scriptures, but blessed is the nearest thing to it that I can find. Congratulations to the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Congratulations to the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. Sunday is the day in which we are to receive congratulations, to believe congratulations, and to express those congratulations. I am afraid that too many of us as Christians are sad and weary, and we have been accused of being frozen, in which that we don't smile, we don't enjoy life, we don't appreciate the beauty around us. But I say to you this morning, congratulations, you who have been forgiven by the Lord. That word forgiveness is a beautiful word. In fact, it is such a multiplex word that there are 15 different words used in the scriptures that are translated forgive or forgiveness in our English translations. And a few of those meanings are these. First, to loosen means to, like a prisoner that is bound by the law and needs to be loosened. And Jesus came to preach to the prisoners and to loosen their chains, as we sang a few moments ago, and to untie us from being chained to the past and to the present. There are so many of us that are habitually chained to the past that we cannot forgive or move beyond events that have happened in the past. Sunday is a day of recreation, not recreation. We have turned that around in the United States, and Sunday has become a day that we want to ourselves, we say. We want to have fun. But Sunday was set aside by the early church to remind us of the power of the resurrection. It changed the day in which they worshipped, to recreate within us what God has intended for us to have. Forgiveness is a gift from God. Forgiveness means that we are to be congratulated when we have received that forgiveness. It's like receiving a diploma, where we fall down on that is that a diploma is usually earned, but forgiveness is a gift from God. The Apostle Paul speaks of the riches of his grace, and we seldom dwell on the riches of his grace. We count calories, we count our steps, we count the days before something is supposed to happen. We count far too many things instead of counting our blessings. There's an old-fashioned gospel song called Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We need to be surprised a little bit more in worship. We come sometimes with heavy hearts, a dreary world around us, and we cannot change some of those things. What we can change is how we react to that. Congratulations if your sins have been forgiven. Not only have you been loosened, but another word for forgiveness is to lift up. It's like you're carrying a heavy burden. There's a wonderful story in the New Testament of Jesus, a woman that's been burdened for 12 years. She's bowed down. And Jesus tells her to stand up straight. Look life in the eye and say, God is in control of all of this. God is sovereign. Jesus died, and I am indeed a child of the King. Jesus is the King, and He wants to lift us up above those things which can cause us such dreariness in life. And we do live in a dreary world, and the world is dreary because it is a fallen world. We forget that. We are subjected to all of the, I call them the dismal D's: depression, disease, discouragement, death. All of those things depress us. But God has lifted us above those things and wants us to look and see the world as He sees it today. And God created the world and said, it is good. We look at the world and count all of the problems that we have. And sometimes we older folks look back on the world and we say, what is the world coming to? How it has changed in the last 25, 50 years. And if it changes that much in the next 25 years, woe to this generation. And we fear for our grandchildren because of that. But God is still sovereign, and God has forgiven us. And He says, congratulations to those whose sins have been forgiven. Not only to loosen and to lift up, but it means to cover. That God sees them no more. They're covered. And once it is covered by the blood of Jesus, we can rejoice. There was a story of an old priest who had sinned greatly in his youth, and he could not get past that guilt. And there was a lady in his congregation in which that was supposed to speak to Jesus. And so he told her, the next time you speak to Jesus, ask Him about my sin. And she said she would. And so the next time he saw her, he asked her, did Jesus say anything about my sin? And he said, yes, He did. He said, I forgot all about it. God has forgotten those sins of our past. Thankfully so. We say that we have not sinned. I was talking to some missionaries some time ago, in which our catechism speaks of sinning in word, deed, and action. And they said, no, we don't sin anymore. And God says, woe unto those who confess no sin. Congratulations to you whose sin has been forgiven, whose sin has been loosened, freeing you to be all that God wants you to be, lifting you up above the past, covering your sins of the past, and also to send it away. There's a wonderful visual of that in the Old Testament called a scapegoat. If you remember that, the scapegoat. At the time of the atonement, there were two goats that were to be sacrificed. One was to be killed and sacrificed on the altar, and the other was to be prayed over for the sins of the country at that point, and then sent into the wilderness. It was called the scapegoat because it was to carry away the sin. And Jesus has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And congratulations to those who've experienced this. And if you have not experienced this, God challenges you this morning to receive the good news of the message of Jesus. It's not, Jesus did not come to teach us good things. He came to redeem us, that we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and we need to be made alive. No laws can be passed to help us to be better people. It has to be what God does on the inside of our hearts. And so when we pray for our nation, We pray for our leaders. We ask God to bless them. And ask God to pour out a spirit of joy upon their lives.
We should ask God
to change their lives. In fact, there's been one particular person that I prayed for many years, that every time I see her on television or hear her name, I offer a prayer of redemption for her, because it is God that's going to change her heart and her life. And I'm afraid that many times when we pray for our leaders, we ask God to bless them, to pour out a spirit of joy. And that's what blessed really means, is a spirit of joy. And that means that we're to be congratulated. But to understand the fullness of that forgiveness, we need to see the cost of sin. The physical cost of sin is estimated to run into the billions of dollars that people get up on a Monday and they don't want to go to work because of the heaviness of the weekend that they have been partying, and all of the other issues of life, the depression that sin causes. David says here, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. And that's that little word, Selah. We don't exactly know what that word means. Some say it may be a musical term in which that the organist is supposed to play loud or quiet at that particular time. Other scholars say it means to stop and think about what has been said. The cost of sin. Sin in our lives. There are four different words used for sin in this one little section of Psalm 32. One is transgression. It means crossing a line. God has said, don't do this. And he doesn't always give us the reasons, but it's for our welfare. Many of the Ten Commandments is do not. Those are lines that are drawn in the sand. And we have thrown the Ten Commandments out, even out of our courtrooms. We have thrown God out of our schools. And we are paying the consequences of these sins. We've crossed the lines. We've lost the respect of our elders, of our police, of our authorities over us. And all of that is because we have rebelled against what God has intended for us. Another word is just to miss the mark. We have fallen short of the glory of God in our lives. And when we recognize that, we find that we waste away when we're not being where God wants us to be. And sometimes we miss the mark because we slip and fall. We're not watching where we're going. It's like the winters here in Vermont and New England, that sometimes we're looking at the world around us and start looking at where we're going, and we hit an icy spot and we slip and fall. We didn't intend to do that, but we did. And sometimes a word comes out of our mouth that we never knew was there. A harsh word, a curse word, a word of hatred, a word of bitterness, a word that dampens the spirit of someone instead of building them up. God challenges us and says, you know, let your words bring edification to the people who hear. And so God wants us to hit the bullseye. In the years in which I directed a number of teen camps, we had archery. And I was always glad just to hit the target. But that was not satisfying. I wanted to hit the target in the middle. And that's what God calls it. This week, he's going to challenge you. He's going to allow circumstances come into your life such that you will be a light in a dark place by how you react. I cannot control the world around me. I can control how I react in the midst of that. Sin is stepping over the line of of rebellion against what God has already said. Sin is missing the mark, but sin is also insincerity. And sometimes we are in church just because that's the thing to do. We're not sincere in our worship of God, and we miss the blessings of God. We miss God saying, congratulations to you. You are mine today. I am a child of the King, and that should give us joy. And we go out of here with shouts of righteousness. That's where we conclude in verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, with shouts of joy, all you upright in heart. We cannot all sing in pitch, but we can all shout. And God causes us to shout with joy. The joys of life. And sometimes when we sing new songs in church, as I have happened to you, and you go home complaining about the new song that you didn't know, the challenge is for me to learn that. And we have wonderful ways of learning that with the internet, and use it for proper purposes and not for the demands of life that happens upon us so much. And congratulations to you. And David, though we do not know exactly when this song was written or the background, we know a little bit about David's life. He was called a man after God's own heart, and yet he sinned tremendously. And this may have been written after he had sinned. You remember that he sinned in committing adultery with Bathsheba. And then he sinned when he called his general from his army home and got him drunk and then had him killed. You wouldn't think that a man like that had any purpose for God. And God brought him through that. God has a purpose for your life. God has a way of taking the path and using it that we will teach others about this. Psalm 51 is a corollary with this. He talks about being forgiven and going out with shouts of joy. I am afraid that too often we go home complaining about the weariness of life instead of the worshiping of the King of Kings in there. Psalm 32 is a wonderful psalm. By the way, the word bless in relationship to God is always praising God. But it's only used in terms of relationship to man as to recognizing the joys that are ours. And for that, I say congratulations to the joys of your life, you know, that happened. David goes on in verse 5 and says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquities. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. The word confess is to say the same thing that God says. It comes from two words. Con means with, and fess means to say, to talk, like to fess up. Confess, to say the same thing that God is saying. And we don't hear the word sin very often, not even in churches very often nowadays. We call it many different names, but God calls it sin when I rebel against Him, when I cross the line, when I fall short, and when I'm insincere. And many times we pay the cost of that. And David felt that cost. I am astounded that in the United States, in the recent year, over 24,000 people committed suicide, mainly because they saw no way out of their situation. And I am not here to generalize in what causes all of those things. There are many issues that come into play.
but call Minninger,
who established the Minninger Clinic in Topeka, Kansas, said that 75% of the people could walk out of there healthy, sane, if they could know the forgiveness of God, that they carry a burden, or they were not able to forgive others. You know, when God has forgiven us, He challenges us to forgive as He has forgiven us. Forgiveness of others is a gift that we give to ourselves, really. Even when the person does not deserve it, we are called to forgive them. Corrie Ten Boom, some of you may have heard that name. Her family hid Jews during the occupation of the Nazis in Germany. And she was imprisoned in Ravensbrück. And her sister died in prison. And her family had been taken from her. She doesn't even know what happened to some of her family members. But she has spoken in Germany of God's forgiveness. And one of the guards that had been at Ravensbrück was there. And he came up to her afterwards and said, "I too have been washed by the blood of Jesus." And stuck out his hand to shake it. She found that she was filled with anger and resentment and could not shake his hand. And she prayed, "Lord, I cannot forgive him, but you have forgiven him. Give me your forgiveness." And she reached out and gave him a hug. Sometimes we take forgiveness for granted. And that's even that it's easy to hold a grudge against someone else. I can remember holding a grudge against one of my professors in seminary, because he gave me a great lower than what I deserved. And yes, it was lower than I deserved. I knew it, but he saw it differently. And it took me years to forgive him, although I would not see him very often. And after graduation from seminary, that thought would come to my mind every once in a while, and I would always resent. And God wanted me to offer that forgiveness that I had received. And if I have been blessed, I am called to bless others. Therefore, let anyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. There will come a time in which the God will not be found. When Christ returns to this earth, He will not give us time to make those decisions. Today is the day in which that we turn to God. Today is the day of salvation. And I challenge you and call upon you to turn your life over to God, to go out of this place with shouts of joy if you're upright in heart. Congratulations to you that have known the forgiveness of the Lord and whose sin has been covered. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we rejoice in your watch care upon our lives. We thank you for the forgiveness that we have found in Jesus Christ. Let us not take it for granted, but let us build upon it and showing that forgiveness to those around us. Even when it is hard and difficult, we ask that your forgiveness would fill our hearts and our minds with joy, and let us go out of this place with shouts of joy, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we concluded in God saying, "Do not be like the horse or the mule. A horse runs ahead of the Lord. A mule is stubborn." And if those of you that have a farm know that already. They are controlled by a bit and a bridle. God says, don't be like the horse or the mule, but be understanding of what God is saying today. And may we go forth from this place with that understanding. God bless you. Thank you. Our concluding hymn is found number 173. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. We praise Him because of His forgiveness. Let's stand together and sing. Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through His grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every work, good and word. You may be seated.
Yes, I do.
for being in church this morning. God bless you. Thank you.